ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पश्चात्यदेशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. And now we have the extreme good fortune of associating with the Srimad Bhagavatam and with His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada through His divine purports. And we're taking up again in the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 1, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. Today we begin at text number 36, where Narada is speaking. Shinardu vacha ekada brahmana putra vishnu lokam yadatshaya sanandanadayo jagmush charanto bhuvanatrayam. The great saint Narada said, once upon a time, when the four sons of Lord Brahma named Sanak, Sanandana, Sanatana and Sanat Kumara were wandering throughout the three worlds, they came by chance to Vishnu Loka. Panchasaddha yanarbhabha purvesham api purvajaha digvasasa shishunmatva dvastautan pratyashedatam. Although these four great sages were older than Brahma's other sons, like Marichi, they appeared like small naked children, only 5 or 6 years old. When Jayanvijaya saw them trying to enter Vaikuntha Loka, these two gatekeepers, thinking them ordinary children, forbade them to enter. Purport. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says in his Tantra Sara, Dvastrau ityani ityanin dadikara stattvam uktam adikara stitaschaiva vimuktascha dvidajana vishnu loka stitastesham vara shapadi yoginaha adikara stitam muktim niyatam prapnuvanti cha vimukyanantaram tesham Vara shapadayo nanu dehendriyasu yuktascha purvam paschan natarayuta apyabhi mani bistesham deva swatmotamaya yuta. The purport is that the personal associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha Loka are always liberated souls. Even if sometimes cursed or blessed, they are always liberated and never contaminated by the material modes of nature. Before their liberation to Vaikuntha Loka, they possessed material bodies. But once they come to Vaikuntha, they no longer have them. Therefore, even if the associates of Lord Vishnu sometimes descend as if cursed, they are always liberated. Text 38. Apashan kupita evam yuvam vasam nacharhataha rajastamobhyam rahite paramule madhudvishaha papishtam asurim yonim balishau yatam ishvataha. Thus checked by the doorkeepers Jayanvijay, Sanandana and the other great sages very angrily cursed them. You two foolish doorkeepers, they said, being agitated by the material qualities of passion and ignorance, you are unfit to live at the shelter of Madhudvisha's lotus feet, which are free from such modes. It would be better for you to go immediately to the material world and take your birth in a family of most sinful asuras. Text 39. When Jai and Vijay, thus cursed by the sages, were falling to the material world, they were addressed as follows by the same sages, who were very kind to them. O doorkeepers, after 3 births, you will be able to return to your positions in Vaikuntha, for then the duration of the curse will have ended. 40. These 2 associates of the Lord, Jai and Vijay, later descended to the material world, taking birth as 2 sons of Diti, Hiranyakashipu, being the elder and Hiranyaksha the younger. They were very much respected by the Daityas and Danavas, demoniac species. 41. Appearing as Nrisingadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, killed Hiranyakashipu. When the Lord delivered the planet Earth, which had fallen in the Garbhodak Ocean, Hiranyaksha tried to hinder him, and then the Lord, as Varaha, killed Hiranyaksha. Desiring to kill his son, Prahlad, who was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Hiranyakashipu tortured him in many ways. The Lord, the Supersoul of all living entities, is sober, peaceful, and equal to everyone. Since the great devotee Prahlad was protected by the Lord's potency, Hiranyakashipu was unable to kill him, in spite of endeavoring to do so in various ways. Purport. In this verse, the word Sarva Bhutatma Bhutam is very significant. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Rideshe Arjuna Tishtati. The Lord is equally situated in the core of everyone's heart. Thus he cannot be envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. For him everyone is the same. Although he is sometimes seen to punish someone, that is exactly like a father's punishing the child for the child's welfare. The Supreme Lord's punishment is also a manifestation of the Lord's equality. Therefore, the Lord is described as Prashantam Samadarshanam. Although the Lord has to execute his will properly, he is equipoised in all circumstances. He is equally disposed toward everyone. 44. Thereafter, the same giant Vijay, the 2 doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu, took birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, begotten by Vishrava in the womb of Keshini. They were extremely troublesome to all the people of the universe. Narada Muni continued, My dear king, just to relieve Jai and Vijay of the Brahmana's curse, Lord Ramachandra appeared in order to kill Ravana and Kumbhakarna. It would be better for you to hear narrations about Lord Ramachandra's activities from Markandeya. In their 3rd birth, the same Jai and Vijay appeared in a family of Kshatriyas as your cousins, the sons of your aunt. Because Lord Krishna has struck them with his disc, all their sinful reactions have been destroyed, and they are now free from the curse. Purport. In their last birth, Jai and Vijay did not become demons or rakshasas. Instead, they took birth in a very exalted Kshatriya family related to Krishna's family. They became first cousins of Lord Krishna and were practically on an equal footing with him. By personally killing them with his own disc, Lord Krishna destroyed whatever sinful reactions were left in them because of the curse of the Brahmanas. Narada Muni explained to Maharaj Yudhishthira that by entering Krishna's body, Shishupal re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the Lord's associate. Everyone had seen this incident. 47. These 2 associates of the Lord, Jai and Vijay, maintained a feeling of enmity for a very long time. Because of always thinking of Krishna in this way, they regained the shelter of the Lord, having returned home back to Godhead. Purport, whatever their position, certainly Jai and Vijay always thought of Krishna. Therefore, at the end of the Maushala Lila, these 2 associates of the Lord returned to Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's body and Narayan's body. Therefore, although they visibly entered the body of Krishna, they actually re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu. Through Lord Krishna's body, they returned to Vaikuntha, although they seem to have attained Sayuja Mukti in Krishna's body. 48. Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired, O my Lord Narada Muni, why was there such enmity between Hiranyakashipu and his beloved son, Prahlad Maharaj? How did Prahlad Maharaj become such a great devotee of Lord Krishna, kindly explain this to me. Purport, all the devotees of Lord Krishna are called Achyutatma because they follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Achyuta refers to the infallible Lord Vishnu, whose heart is always infallible. Because the devotees are attached to the infallible, they are called Achyutatma. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 1st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. Chapter 2. Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. As described in this chapter, after the annihilation of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha's sons and his brother Hiranyakashipu were very much aggrieved. Hiranyakashipu reacted very sinfully by trying to diminish the religious activities of people in general. However, he instructed his nephews about a history just to diminish their aggrievement. When the Supreme Personality of God had appeared as the boar and killed Hiranyakashipu's brother, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu was very much aggrieved. In anger, he accused the Supreme Personality of God of being partial to his devotees and derided the Lord's appearance as Varaha to kill his brother. He began to agitate all the demons and Rakshasas and disturb the ritualistic ceremonies of the peaceful sages and other inhabitants of earth. For want of the performance of yajna sacrifice, the demigods began wandering unseen on the earth. After finishing the ritualistic funeral ceremonies of his brother, Hiranyakashipu began speaking to his nephews, quoting from the Shastras about the truth of life. To pacify them, he spoke as follows, "My dear nephews, for heroes to die before the enemy is glorious. According to their different fruit of activities, living entities come together within this material world and are again separated by the laws of nature. We should always know, however, that the spirit soul, which is different from the body, is eternal, inadjustable, pure, all-pervading, and aware of everything. When bound by the material energy, the soul takes birth in higher or lower species of life according to the varying association, and in this way, receives various types of bodies in which to suffer or enjoy. One's affliction by the conditions of material existence is the cause of happiness and distress. There are no other causes, and one should not be aggrieved upon seeing the superficial actions of karma." Hiranyakashipu then related a historical incident concerning a king, Suyajna, who resided in the country named Ushinara. When the king was killed, his queens, overwhelmed with grief, received instructions, which Hiranyakashipu quoted to his nephews. Hiranyakashipu related an account of a Kulinga bird pierced by the arrow of a hunter while lamenting for his wife, who had also been shot by the same hunter. By narrating these stories, Hiranyakashipu pacified his nephews and other relatives and relieved them of lamentation. Thus, having been pacified, Diti and Rushabhanu, Hiranyakashipu's mother and sister-in-law, engaged their minds in spiritual understanding. Text 1. Sri Narada Vacha Bratyar Evam Vinihite Harina Krodha Murtina Hiranyakashipu Rajan Paryataptyad Rushashucha. Sri Narada Muni said, "My dear King Yudhishthira, when Lord Vishnu, in the form of Varaha, the boar, killed Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha's brother Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry and began to lament." Purport. Yudhishthira had inquired from Narada Muni why Hiranyakashipu was so envious of his own son Prahlad. Narada Muni began narrating the story by explaining how Hiranyakashipu had become a staunch enemy of Lord Vishnu. Filled with rage and biting his lips, Hiranyakashipu gazed at the sky with eyes that blazed in anger, making the whole sky smoky. Thus he began to speak. Purport. As usual, the demon is envious of the Supreme Personality of God and inimical towards him. These were Hiranyakashipu's external bodily features as he considered how to kill Lord Vishnu and devastate his kingdom, Vaikuntha Loka. Exhibiting his terrible teeth, fierce glands, and frowning eyebrows, terrible to see, he took up his weapon, a trident, and thus began speaking to his associates, the assembled demons. O Danavas, O Daityas, O Dvimurda, Traksha, Shambara, and Shatabahu, O Hayagriva, Namuchi, Paka, and Ilval, O Viprachiti, Puloman, Shakuna, and other demons, all of you kindly hear me attentively and then act according to my words without delay. 6. My insignificant enemies, the demigods, have combined to kill my very dear and obedient well-wisher, my brother, Hiranyaksha. Although the Supreme Lord Vishnu is always equal to both of us, namely the demigods and the demons, this time, being devoutly worshipped by the demigods, he has taken their side and helped them kill Hiranyaksha. There's a footnote which says, both the demons and demigods understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the Supreme Master, but the demigods follow the Master, whereas the demons defy him. Thus the demigods and demons are compared to the two co-wives of one husband. Each wife is the saputni, co-wife of the other. And therefore the word saputnahi is used here. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9.29, Samoham sarvabhuteshu, the Lord is equal to all living entities. Since the demigods and demons are both living entities, how is it possible that the Lord was partial to one class of living beings and opposed to another? Actually, it is not possible for the Lord to be partial. Nonetheless, since the demigods, the devotees, always strictly follow the Supreme Lord's orders, because of sincerity, they are victorious over the demons, who know that the Supreme Lord is Vishnu, but do not follow his instructions. Because of constantly remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, the demons generally attain Sayuja Mukti at death. The demon Hiranyakashipu accused the Lord of being partial because the demigods worshipped him, but in fact the Lord, like the government, is not partial at all. The government is not partial to any citizen, but if a citizen is law-abiding, he receives abundant opportunities from the state laws to live peacefully and fulfill his real interests. Text 7 and 8. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up his natural tendency of equality toward the demons and demigods. Although he is the Supreme Person now influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leans towards someone. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident. And with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who is so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I too be peaceful. Purport. The defect of the demoniac mentality is expressed in this verse very clearly. Hiranyakashipu thought that Vishnu also becomes partial, like a child whose mind is not steady or resolute. The Lord can change his mind at any time, Hiranyakashipu thought, and therefore his words and activities are like those of children. Actually, because the demons are ordinary human beings, their minds change, and being materially conditioned, they think that the Supreme Personality of God is conditioned also. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Avajananti mamudha manushim tanumashutam, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. Demons always think that Lord Vishnu can be killed. Therefore, being absorbed in thoughts of Vishnu's form to kill him, at least they have the opportunity to think of Vishnu unfavorably. Although they are not devotees, their thinking of Vishnu is effective, and thus they generally attain Sayuja Mukti. Because the demons consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary living being, they think that they can kill Lord Vishnu as one might kill an ordinary person. Another fact disclosed herein is that demons are very much fond of sucking blood. Indeed, all of them are meat-eaters and blood-suckers. Hiranyakashipu accused the Supreme Lord of having a restless mind like that of a small child who can be induced to do anything if simply offered some cakes and laddus. Indirectly, this indicates the true position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says in Bhagavad Gita 9.26, Patram pushpam palam toyam, Yome bhaktya priyachchati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami pariyatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. The Lord accepts the offerings of devotees because of their transcendental love. Because they are in love with the Supreme Lord, they do not eat anything without offering it first to the Lord. The Lord does not hanker for a small leaf or flower. He has enough to eat. Indeed, he is feeding all living entities. Nonetheless, because he is very merciful and is bhaktivatsala, very favorable to the devotees, he certainly eats whatever they offer him with love and devotion. This quality should not be misjudged to be childish. The highest quality of the Supreme Lord is that he is bhaktivatsala. In other words, he is always extremely pleased with his devotees. As for the word maya, when used in reference to the dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, this means affection. The actions of the Lord to favor his devotees are not disqualifications, but signs of his natural affection. As for Rudhira, or the blood of Lord Vishnu, since there is no possibility of severing Lord Vishnu's head from his body, there is no question of blood, but the garland that decorates Vishnu's body is as red as blood. When the demons achieve Sayuja Mukti and leave behind their sinful activities, they are blessed by Vishnu's garland, which is red like blood. After attaining Sayuja Mukti, the demons are sometimes promoted to the Vaikuntha world, where they receive the reward of the Lord's garland prasad. Text 9. Tasmin kute hite nashte krta mule vanaspatau vitapata vitapa iva shushyanti Vishnu prana dvivau kashaha dvigau dvivau kasaha. When the root of a tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, the demigods, for whom Lord Vishnu is the life and soul, will lose the source of their life and wither away. Purport. The difference between the demigods and the demons is here explained. The demigods always follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the demons simply plan to disturb or kill him. Nevertheless, sometimes the demons very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods upon the mercy of the Lord. This is the indirect glorification of the demigods by the demons. Text 10. While I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the earth planet, which is flourishing due to the Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows, and charity. Destroy all the people thus engaged. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's main purpose was to disturb the demigods. He planned first to kill Lord Vishnu so that with Lord Vishnu's death, the demigods would automatically weaken and die. Another of his plans was to disturb the residents of the planet Earth. The peace and prosperity of the residents of Earth and all the other planets were maintained by the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvarnya maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. On all the planets there are different types of residents, but the Lord recommends referring especially to the planet Earth, which is inhabited by human beings, that society be divided into four varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Before the advent of Lord Krishna on this earth, it is understood that the earth was managed by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The duty of the Brahmanas is to cultivate Shama, peacefulness, Dhamma, self-control, Titiksha, tolerance, Satyam, truthfulness, Shaucham, cleanliness, and Arjavam, simplicity. And then to advise the Kshatriya kings how to rule the country or planet. Following the instructions of the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas should engage the populace in austerity, sacrifices, Vedic study, and adherence to the rules and regulations established by Vedic principles. They should also arrange for charity to be given to the Brahmanas, sannyasis, and temples. This is the godly arrangement of Brahminical culture. People are inclined to offer yajna because unless sacrifices are offered, there will be insufficient rain, yajnad bhavati parjanyad, which will hamper agricultural activities, Parjanyad Anasambhavaha. By introducing Brahminical culture, therefore, a Kshatriya government should engage people in performing yajna, studying the Vedas, and giving charity. Thus, the people will receive their necessities for everyday, for life very easily, and there will be no disturbances in society. In this regard, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 3.12, Ishtan bhogan hivo deva dasyante yajna bhavita tardatan aprada yaibhyo yo punkte stena evasaha. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna sacrifice, supply all necessities to man. But he who enjoys these gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. The demigods are authorized supplying agents who act on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yajnas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yajnas prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, sacrifice to the demigods is recommended. According to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yajnas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely according to different qualities. For example, the meat eaters are recommended to worship the goddess Kali, the ghastly form of material nature, and before the goddess, the sacrifice of animals is recommended. But for those in the mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. Ultimately, all yajnas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least 5 yajnas, known as Pancha Mahayajna, are necessary. One should know, however, that all the necessities of life that human society requires are supplied by the demigod agents of the Lord. No one can manufacture anything. Consider, for example, all the edibles of human society. These edibles include grains, fruits, vegetables, milk, and sugar for persons in the mode of goodness, and also edibles for the non-vegetarians, such as meats, none of which can be manufactured by men. Then again, take, for example, heat, light, water, and air, which are also necessities of life. None of them can be manufactured by human society. Without the Supreme Lord, there can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, or breeze, without which no one can live. Obviously, our life is dependent on supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so much raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. This aim of life is attained by performance of yajnas. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves, and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy, for they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajnas. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yajna, namely Sankirtan yajna, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu planned to kill the inhabitants of earth so that yajna would stop the demigods being disturbed, would die automatically when Lord Vishnu, the Yajneshwar, was killed. These were the demoniac plans of Hiranyakashipu, who was expert in such activities. Text 11. The basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great Pitas, and the people in general. When the brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the kshatriyas to perform yajnas, and thus the demigods, not being appeased by yajna, will automatically die. Purport. Since Vishnu is the central point of Brahminical culture, Hiranyakashipu's plan was to kill Vishnu, for if Vishnu were killed, naturally the Brahminical culture would also be lost. With Brahminical culture lost, yajna would no longer be performed, and for want of yajna, the regular distribution of rainfall would cease. Yajnad bhavati parjanya. Thus, there would be disturbances all over the world. And naturally, the demigods would be defeated. From this verse, we get a clear indication of how human society is disturbed when the Vedic Aryan civilization is killed and the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies performed by the Brahmanas are stopped. Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha. Because the population of the modern world consists mostly of Shudras, the Brahminical culture is now lost and is extremely difficult to reestablish in a proper way. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which will revive Brahminical culture very easily. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalau nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. Because of the increment in demoniac population, people have lost Brahminical culture. Nor is there a Kshatriya government. Instead, the government is a democracy in which any Shudra can be voted into taking up the governmental reins and capture the power to rule. Because of the poisonous effects of Kali Yuga, the Shastras, Bhagavatam 12:2-13, says, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu. The government will adopt the policies of Dasyus, or plunderers. Thus, there will be no instructions from the Brahmanas, and even if there are Brahminical instructions, there will be no Kshatriya rulers who can follow them. Aside from Satya Yuga, even formerly in the days when demons were flourishing, Hiranyakashipu planned to destroy the Brahminical culture and the Kshatriya government, and thus create chaos all over the world. Although in Satya Yuga this plan was very difficult to execute, in Kali Yuga, which is full of Shudras and demons, the Brahminical culture is lost and can be revived only by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Therefore, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, or the Hare Krishna Movement, has been inaugurated to revive Brahminical culture very easily so that people may become happy and peaceful in this life and prepare for elevation in the next. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya quotes this verse from the Brahmanda Purana, Vipra yagnadi mulam te tu harir it yasuram matam harir eva hi sarvasya mulam samyam matohnrapa. O king, the demons think that Hari, Lord Vishnu, exists because of the Brahmins and Yajna, but factually Hari is the cause of everything, including the Brahmins and Yajna. Therefore, through the popularizing of Hari Kirtan, or the Sankirtan movement, the Brahminical culture and Kshatriya government will automatically come back and people will be extremely happy. Text 12. Immediately go wherever there is good protection for the cows and brahmanas and wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of the Varnashram principles. Set fire to those places and cut from the roots the trees there, which are the source of life. Purport, the picture of a proper human civilization is indirectly described here. In a perfect human civilization, there must be a class of men fully trained as perfect brahmanas. Similarly, there must be kshatriyas to rule the country very nicely, according to the injunctions of the shastras, and there must be vaishyas who can protect the cows. The word gavaha indicates that cows should be given protection. Because the Vedic civilization is lost, cows are not protected, but instead indiscriminately killed in slaughterhouses. Such are the acts of demons. Therefore, this is a demoniac civilization. The Varnashram Dharma mentioned here is essential for human civilization. Unless there is a Brahmana to guide, a Kshatriya to rule perfectly, and a perfect Vaishya to produce food and protect the cows, how will people live peacefully? It is impossible. Another point is that trees also should be given protection. During its lifetime, a tree should not be cut for industrial enterprises. In Kali Yuga, trees are indiscriminately and unnecessarily cut for industry, in particular for paper mills that manufacture a profuse quantity of paper for the publication of demoniac propaganda, nonsensical literature, huge quantities of newspaper, and many other paper products. This is a sign of demoniac civilization. The cutting of trees is prohibited unless necessary for the service of Lord Vishnu, Jagnartat Kamanon Yatra Lokoyam Karma Bandanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Lord Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. But if the paper mills stop producing paper, one may argue, how can our ISKCON literature be published? The answer is that the paper mills should manufacture paper only for the publishing of ISKCON literature, because ISKCON literature is published for the service of Lord Vishnu. This literature clarifies our relationship with Lord Vishnu, and therefore the publication of ISKCON literature is the performance of yajna. Yajnartat kamanon yatra lokoyam karma bandanaha. Yajna must be performed as indicated by the superior authorities. By the cutting of trees simply to manufacture paper for the publication of unwanted literature is the greatest sinful act. Text 13. Thus the demons, being fond of disastrous activities, took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads with great respect and offered him obeisances. According to his directions, they engaged in envious activities directed against all living beings. Purport, the followers of demoniac principles, as described here, are thoroughly envious of the general populace. In the present day, scientific advancement exemplifies such envy. The discovery of nuclear energy has been disastrous to people in general because demons all over the world are manufacturing nuclear weapons. The word Kadanapriya is very significant in this regard. The demoniac persons who want to kill the Vedic culture are extremely envious of the feeble citizens, and they act in such a way that ultimately their discoveries will be inauspicious for everyone. Jagato Hita. The 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita fully explains how the demons engage in sinful activities for the destruction of the populace. Text 14. The demons set fire to the cities, villages, pasturing grounds, cow pens, gardens, agricultural fields, and natural forests. They burned the hermitages of the saintly persons, the important mines that produced valuable metals, and residential quarters of the agriculturalists, the mountain villages, and the villages of the cow protectors, the cowherd men. They also burned the government capitals. Purport. The word Udyana refers to places where trees are especially grown to produce fruits and flowers, which are most important for human civilization. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:26, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachyati taraham bhakti paritam shnami paritatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Fruits and flowers are very much pleasing to the Lord. If one wants to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can simply offer fruits and flowers, and the Lord will be pleased to accept them. Our only duty is to please the Supreme Godhead, Samsidhir Haritoshanam. Whatever we do and whatever our occupation, our main purpose should be to please the Supreme Lord. All the paraphernalia mentioned in this verse is especially meant for the satisfaction of the Lord, not the satisfaction of one's senses. The government, indeed the entire society, should be structured in such a way that everyone can be trained to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But unfortunately, especially in this age, Nate vidu swartagatim hi Vishnu, people do not know that the highest goal of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. On the contrary, like demons, they simply plan to kill Vishnu and be happy by sense gratification. Text 15. Some of the demons took digging instruments and broke down the bridges, the protective walls, and the gates, gopuras, of the cities. Some took axes and began cutting the important trees that produced mango, jackfruit, and other sources of food. Some of the demons took firebrands and set fire to the residential quarters of the citizens. Purport. The cutting of trees is generally prohibited. In particular, trees that produce nice fruit for the maintenance of human society should not be cut. In different countries, there are different types of fruit trees. In India, the mango and jackfruit trees are prominent. And in other places, there are mango trees, jackfruit trees, coconut trees, and berry trees. Any tree that produces nice fruit for the maintenance of the people should not be cut at all. This is the Shastric. This is a Shastric injunction. 16. Thus disturbed again and again by the unnatural occurrences caused by the followers of Hiranyakashipu, all the people had to cease the activities of Vedic culture. Not receiving the results of Yajna, the demigods also became disturbed. They left their residential quarters in the heavenly planets and, unobserved by the demons, began wandering on the planet Earth to see the disasters. Purport, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, the performance of Yajna begins... the performance of Yajna brings reciprocal good fortune for both the human beings and the demigods. When the performances of Yajna were stopped by the disturbances of the demons, the demigods were naturally bereft of the results of Yajna and hampered in executing their respective duties. Therefore, they came down to the planet Earth to see how people had become disturbed and to consider what to do. After performing the ritualistic observances for the death of his brother, Hiranyakashipu, being extremely unhappy, tried to pacify his nephews. O King, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry, but since he was a great politician, he knew how to act according to the time and situation. With sweet words, he began pacifying his nephews, whose names were Shakuni, Shambara, Drishti, Bhuta, Santapana, Vrika, Kalanaba, Mahanaba, Harishmashru, and Utkacha. He also consoled their mother, his sister-in-law, Rushabhanu, as well as his own mother, Diti. He spoke to them as follows. Sri Hiranyakashipur Uvacha, Ambamba he vidu putra viram marhat dashochitum ripur abhi muke shlagya shuranam vara ipshataha. Hiranyakashipu said, my dear mother, sister-in-law, and nephews, you should not lament for the death of the great hero. For a hero's death in front of his enemy is glorious and desirable. My dear mother, in a restaurant or place for drinking cold water, many travelers are brought together, and after drinking water, they continue to their respective destinations. Similarly, living entities join together in a family, and later, as a result of their own actions, they are led apart to their destinations. Purport. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimutatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. All living entities act exactly according to the directions of Prakriti, material nature, because in the material world we are fully under a higher control. All the living entities in this material world have come here only because they wanted to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment and have thus been sent here to be conditioned by material nature in different degrees. In the material world, a so-called family is a combination of several persons in one home to fulfill the terms of their imprisonment. As criminal prisoners scatter as soon as their terms are over and they are released, all of us who have been temporarily assembled as family members will continue to our respective destinations. Another example given is that family members are like straws carried together by the waves of a river. Sometimes such straws mix together in whirlpools and later, dispersed again by the same waves, they float alone in the water. Although Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he had Vedic knowledge and understanding. Thus the advice given to his family members, his sister-in-law, mother and nephews, was quite sound. The demons are considered highly elevated in knowledge, but because they do not use their good intelligence for the service of the Lord, they are called demons. The demigods, however, act very intelligently to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13 as follows. Atapumbir dvijashesta varnashrama vibhagashaha Swanustistasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice-born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Lord Hari. To become a demigod or to become godly, whatever one's occupation, one must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 22. The spirit soul, the living entity, has no death, for he is eternal and inexhaustible. Being freed from material contamination, he can go anywhere in the material or spiritual worlds. He is fully aware and completely different from the material body, but because of being misled by misuse of his slight independence, he is obliged to accept subtle and gross bodies created by the material energy, and thus he is subjected to so-called material happiness and distress. Therefore, no one should lament for the passing of the spirit soul from the body. Purport, Hiranyakashipu very intelligently described the position of the soul. The soul is never the body, but is always completely different from the body. Being eternal and inexhaustible, the soul has no death, but when the same pure soul desires to enjoy the material world independently, he is placed under the conditions of material nature and must therefore accept a certain type of body and suffer the pains and pleasures thereof. This is also described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. The living entity is born in different families or species of life because of being infected by the modes of material nature. When conditioned by material nature, the living entity must accept a certain type of body, which is offered by nature under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Shvara sarva bhutanam rida sherajana tishtati. Ramayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. The body is just like a machine, and according to the living entity's karma, he is offered a particular type of machine to move here and there under the control of material nature. This continues until he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Until he surrenders, the conditioned soul is carried from life to life by the arrangement of material nature. 23. Because of the movements of the water, the trees on the bank of a river, when reflected on the water, seem to move. Similarly, when the eyes move because of some mental derangement, the land appears to move also. Purport, sometimes because of mental derangement, the land appears to be moving. A drunkard, for example, or a person with a heart disease sometimes feels that the land is moving. Similarly, the reflections of trees in a flowing river also appears to move. These are the actions of Maya. Actually, the living entity does not move. Stanu achaloyam. The living entity does not take birth or accept death. But because of the transient, subtle, and gross bodies, the living entity appears to move from one place to another or be dead and gone forever. As the great Bengali Vaishnava poet Jagadananda Pandit has said, Pichachi pale jina mati channo hoy, maya grashto jivera hoyo she bhavo udoy. According to this statement from the Prema Vivarta, when a living entity is conditioned by material nature, it is exactly like a person haunted by a ghost. One should therefore understand the fixed position of the spirit soul and how he is carried away by the waves of material nature to different bodies and different situations under lamentation and hankering. One achieves the success of life when he understands the constitutional position of his self and is undisturbed by the conditions created by material nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Text 24. In the same way, O my gentle mother, when the mind is agitated by the movements of the modes of material nature, the living entity, although freed from all the different phases of the subtle and gross bodies, thinks that he has changed from one condition to another. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13, Yasyatma buddhi kunapetra datuke sudhi kalatradishu bhauma idjitihi yatirata buddhi salilena karitij janeshu abhigeshu saeva gokaraha. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe, rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like a cow or an ass. Although Hiranyakashipu was a great demon, he was not as foolish as the population of the modern world. Hiranyakashipu had clear knowledge of the spirit soul and the subtle and gross bodies, but now we are so degraded that everyone, including the exalted scientists, philosophers, and other leaders, is under the bodily conception of life, which is condemned in the Shastras. Saeva Gokara, such persons are nothing but cows and asses. Hiranyakashipu advised his family members that although the gross body of his brother Hiranyaksha was dead, and they were aggrieved because of this, they should not lament for the great soul of Hiranyaksha, who had already attained his next destination. Atma, the spirit soul, is always unchanged. Avikala Puman. We are spirit souls, but when carried away by mental activities, Manu Dharma, we suffer from so-called material conditions of life. This generally happens to non-devotees. Harava Bhaktasu Kuto Mahadguna. Non-devotees may possess exalted material qualities, but because they are foolish, they have no good qualifications. The designations of the conditioned soul in the material world are decorations of the dead body. The conditioned soul has no information of the spirit soul and its exalted existence beyond the effects of the material condition. Texts 25 and 26. In his bewildered state, the living entity, accepting the body and mind to be the self, considers some people to be his kinsmen and others to be outsiders. Because of this misconception, he suffers. Indeed, the accumulation of such concocted material ideas is the cause of suffering and so-called happiness in the material world. The conditioned soul, thus situated, must take birth in different species and work in various types of consciousness, thus creating new bodies. This continued material life is called samsara. Birth, death, lamentation, foolishness, and anxiety are due to such material considerations. Thus, we sometimes come to a proper understanding and sometimes fall again to a wrong conception of life. Text 27. In this regard, an example is given from an old history. This involves a discourse between Yamaraj and the friends of a dead person. Please hear it attentively. Purport, the words itihasam puratanam mean an old history. The Puranas are not chronologically recorded, but the incidents mentioned in the Puranas are actual histories of bygone ages. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Mahapurana, the essence of all the Puranas. The Mayavadi scholars do not accept the Puranas, but Srila Madhvacharya and other authorities accept them as the authoritative histories of the world. 28. In the state known as Ushinara, there was a celebrated king named Suyagya. When the king was killed in battle by his enemies, his kinsmen sat down around the dead body and began to lament the death of their friend. His golden bejeweled armor smashed, his ornaments and garlands fallen from their places, his hair scattered and his eyes lustreless. The slain king lay on the battlefield, his entire body smeared with blood, his heart pierced by the arrows of his enemy. When he died, he had wanted to show his prowess, and thus he had bitten his lips, and his teeth remained in that position. His beautiful lotus-like face was now black and covered with dust from the battlefield. His arms with his sword and other weapons were cut and broken. When the queens of the king of Ushinara saw their husband lying in that position, they began crying, "O Lord, now you have been killed. We also have been killed." Repeating these words again and again, they fell down, pounding their breasts at the feet of the dead king. Purport, as stated here, Rabasa Dashtadachadam, the dead king, while fighting in anger, bit his lips to show his prowess, but nonetheless he was killed by providence, Vidina. This proves that we are controlled by higher authorities. Our personal power or endeavor is not always supreme. We must therefore accept the position offered to us by the order of the Supreme. 32. As the queens loudly cried, their tears glided down their breasts, becoming reddened by kumkum powder, and fell upon the lotus feet of their husband. Their hair became disarrayed, their ornaments fell, and in a way that evoked sympathy from the hearts of others, the queens began lamenting their husband's death. O Lord, you have now been removed by cruel providence to a state beyond our sight. You had previously sustained the livelihood of the inhabitants of Ushinara, and thus they were happy, but your condition now is the cause of their unhappiness. O King, O hero, you are a very grateful husband and the most sincere friend of all of us. How shall we exist without you? O hero, wherever you are going, please direct us there so that we may follow in your footsteps and engage again in your service. Let us go along with you. Purport, formerly a Kshatriya king was generally the husband of many wives, and after the death of the king, especially in the battlefield, all the queens would agree to accept Saha Marana, dying with the husband who was their life. When Pandu Maharaj was the father of the Pandavas, died, his two wives, namely the mother of Yudhishthir, Bhima and Arjun, and the mother of Nakula and Sahadev, were both ready to die in the fire with their husband. Later, after a compromise was arranged, Kunti stayed alive to care for the little children, and the other wife, Madri, was allowed to die with her husband. This system of Sahamarana continued in India even until the time of British rule, but later it was discouraged since the attitude of wives generally gradually changed with the advancement of Kali Yuga. Thus the system of Sahamarana has practically been abolished. Nevertheless, within the past 50 years, I have seen the wife of a medical practitioner voluntarily accept death immediately when her husband died. Both the husband and wife were taken in procession in the mourning cart. Such intense love of a chaste wife for her husband is a special case. 35. The time was appropriate for the body to be burned, but the queens, not allowing it to be taken away, continued lamenting for the dead body, which they kept on their laps. In the meantime, the sun completed its movements for settling in the west. Purport, according to the Vedic system, if a person dies during the daytime, it is customary for his funeral ceremony to be performed before the sun sets, regardless of whether he is burned or buried. And if he dies at night, the funeral must be completed before the next sunrise. Apparently, the queens continued lamenting for the dead body, the lump of matter, and would not allow it to be taken away for burning. This illustrates the strong grip of illusion among foolish persons who consider the body the self. Women are generally considered less intelligent. Because of ignorance only, the queens thought of the dead body as their husband, and somehow or other thought that if the body were kept, their husband would remain with them. Such a conception of the self is certainly for Gokara, cows and asses. We have actually seen that sometimes when a cow's calf has died, the milkman cheats the cow by presenting before her the dead calf of her dead body of her calf. Thus the cow, who would not otherwise allow milking, licks the dead body of the calf and allows herself to be milked. This substantiates the description of the Shastra that a foolish man in the bodily concept of life is like a cow. Not only do foolish men and women consider the body the self, but we have even seen the dead body of a so-called yogi was kept for days by his disciples who thought that their guru was in samadhi. when decomposition began and a bad smell unfortunately began to overwhelm the yogic power, the disciples allowed the dead body of the so-called yogi to be burned. Thus, the bodily concept of life is extremely strong among foolish persons who are compared to cows and asses. Nowadays, great scientists are trying to freeze dead bodies so that in the future those frozen bodies may again be brought to life. The incident narrated by Hiranyakashipu from history must have taken place millions of years ago, because Hiranyakashipu lived millions of years ago and was even then quoting from history. Thus, the incident occurred before Hiranyakashipu's lifetime, but the same ignorance in the bodily concept of life is still prevalent, not only among laymen, but even among scientists who think they will be able to revive frozen corpses. Apparently, the queens did not want to deliver the dead body for burning because they were afraid of dying with the dead body of their husband. Text 36. When the queens were lamenting for the dead body of the king, their loud cries were heard even from the abode of Yamaraj. Assuming the body of a boy, Yamaraj personally approached the relatives of the dead body and advised them as follows. Purport. Sometimes the living entity is forced to give up his body and enter another one, according to the judgment of Yamaraj. It is difficult, however, for the conditioned soul to enter another body unless the present dead body is annihilated through cremation or some other means. The living being has attachment for the present body and does not want to enter another body, and thus in the interim he remains a ghost. If a living being who has already left his body has been pious, Yamaraj, just to give him relief, will give him another body. Since the living being in the body of the king had some attachment to his body, he was hovering as a ghost, and therefore Yamaraj, as a special consideration, approached the lamenting relatives to instruct them personally. Yamaraj approached them as a child, because a child is not restricted but is granted admittance at anywhere, even to the palace of a king. Besides this, the child was speaking philosophy. People are very much interested in hearing philosophy when it is spoken by a child. Text 37. Sri Yamaraj said, "Alas, how amazing it is. These persons who are older than me have full experience that hundreds and thousands of living entities have taken birth and died. Thus they should understand that they are also apt to die, yet still they are bewildered. The conditioned soul comes from an unknown place and returns after death to that same unknown place. There is no exception to this rule, which is conducted by material nature. Knowing this, why do they uselessly lament?" Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 2:28, "Avyaktadini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata avyaktanidyana neva tatraka paridevana." All created beings are unmanifest in their beginning, manifest in their interim state, and unmanifest again when they are annihilated. So what need is there for lamentation? Accepting that there are two classes of philosophers, one believing in the existence of the soul and the other not believing in its existence, there is no cause for lamentation in either case. Non-believers in the existence of the soul are called atheists by followers of Vedic wisdom. Yet even if, for argument's sake, we accept the atheistic theory, there is still no cause for lamentation. Apart from the separate existence of the soul, the material elements remain unmanifested before creation. From this subtle state of unmanifestation comes manifestation, just as from ether, air is generated. From air, fire is generated. From fire, water is generated. And from water, earth becomes manifested. From the earth, many varieties of manifestations take place. For example, a big skyscraper is manifested from the earth. When it is dismantled, the manifestation becomes again unmanifested and remains as atoms in the ultimate stage. The law of conservation of energy remains, but in the course of time, things are manifested and unmanifested. That is the difference. Then what cause is there for lamentation in either manifestation or unmanifestation? Somehow or other, even in the unmanifested stage, things are not lost. Both in the beginning and at the end, all elements remain unmanifested. And this does not make any real material difference. If we accept the Vedic conclusion as stated in Bhagavad Gita, antavanta ime deha, that these material bodies are perishable in due course of time, nityasyoktasharirinaha, but that the soul is eternal, then we must remember always that the body is like a dress. Therefore, why lament the changing of a dress? The material body has no factual existence in relation to the eternal soul. It is something like a dream. In a dream, we may think of flying in the sky or sitting on a chariot as a king. But when we wake up, we can see that we are neither in the sky nor seated on the chariot. The Vedic wisdom encourages self-realization on the basis of the non-existence of the material body. Therefore, in either case, whether one believes in the existence of the soul or one does not believe in the existence of the soul, there is no cause for lamentation for loss of the body. In the Mahabharata, it is said, Adarshanat ihayata punash chadarshanam gata. This statement could support the theory of atheistic scientists that the child in the womb of the mother has no life but is simply a lump of matter. To follow this theory, if the lump of matter is aborted by a surgical operation, no life is killed. The body of a child is like a tumor, and if a tumor is operated upon and thrown away, no sin is involved. The same argument could be put forward in regard to the king and his queens. The body of the king was manifested from an unmanifested source, and again it became unmanifested from manifestation. Since the manifestation exists only in the middle, between the two points of unmanifestation, why should one cry for the body manifested in the interim? 38. It is wonderful that these elderly women do not have a higher sense of life than we do. Indeed, we are most fortunate, for although we are children and have been left to struggle in mature life, unprotected by father and mother, and although we are weak, we have not been vanquished or eaten by ferocious animals. Thus we have a firm belief that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given us protection even in the womb of the mother, will protect us everywhere. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 1861, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Rideshe Junatishtati. The Lord is present in the core of everyone's heart. Thus the Lord gives protection to everyone and gives the different types of bodies the living entities wants to enjoy. Everything is done by the order of the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore one should not lament the birth and death of a living being, which have been arranged by the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. One must act according to the direction of the Lord within the heart. But because the conditioned soul wants to act independently, the Lord gives him the facility to act and experience the reactions. The Lord says, Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Give up all other duties and simply surrender unto me. One who does not abide by the orders of the Supreme Personality is given the facility to enjoy this material world. Instead of restricting him, the Lord gives the conditioned soul the opportunity to enjoy, so that by material experience, after many, many births, Bahunam Jammanamante, he will understand that surrender to the lotus feet of Vasudev is the only duty of all living beings. 39. The boy addressed the woman, O weak woman, only by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never diminished, is the entire world created, maintained, and again annihilated. This is the verdict of the Vedic knowledge. This material creation, consisting of the moving and non-moving, is exactly like his plaything. Being the Supreme Lord, he is completely competent to destroy and protect. Purport, in this regard, the queens might argue, if our husband was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when in the womb, why has he not been given protection now? To this question, the answer is Ya Ichayesha Sridad Srijatidam Avyayo Yaeva Rakshat Avalum Pate Chaya. One cannot argue with the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is always free, and therefore he can protect and also annihilate. He is not our order carrier. Whatever he likes, he will do. Therefore, he is the Supreme Lord. The Lord does not create this material world at anyone's request, and therefore he can annihilate everything merely by his will. That is his supremacy. If one argues, why does he act in this way? The answer is that he can do so because he is supreme. No one can question his activities. If one argues, what is the purpose of this sinful creation and annihilation? The answer is that to prove his omnipotence, he can do anything and no one can question him. If he were answerable to us concerning why he does something and why he does not, his supremacy would be curtailed. Text 40. Hare Krishna. Sometimes one loses his money on a public street where everyone can see it, and yet his money is protected by destiny and not seen by others. Thus the man who lost it gets it back. On the other hand, if the Lord does not give protection, even money maintained very securely at home is lost. If the Supreme Lord gives one protection, even though one has no protector and is in the jungle, one remains alive, whereas a person well protected at home by relatives and others sometimes dies, no one being able to protect him. Purport. These are examples of the supremacy of the Lord. Our plans to protect or annihilate do not act, but whatever he thinks of doing actually happens. The examples given in this regard are practical. Everyone has had such practical experiences, and there are also many other clear examples. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj said that a child is certainly dependent on his father and mother, but in spite of their presence, the child is harassed in many ways. Sometimes, in spite of a good supply of medicine and an experienced physician, a patient does not survive. Therefore, since everything is dependent on the free will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our only duty is to surrender unto him and seek his protection. Text 41. Every conditioned soul receives a different type of body according to his work, and when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies and different forms of life, he is not bound by them, for he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. Purport. Here it is very plainly explained that God is not responsible for the living entities accepting different types of bodies. One has to accept a body according to the laws of nature and one's own karma. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that a person engaged in material activities should be given directions by which he can intelligently apply his activities to the service of the Lord to become free from the material bondage of repeated birth and death. Swakarmana tam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manavaha. The Lord is always ready to give directions. Indeed, his directions are elaborately given in Bhagavad Gita. If we take advantage of these directions, then in spite of our being conditioned by the laws of material nature, we shall become free to attain our original constitution. Mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. We should have firm faith that the Lord is supreme, and that if we surrender unto him, he will take charge of us and indicate how we can get out of material life and return home back to Godhead. Without such surrender, one is obliged to accept a certain type of body according to its karma, sometimes as an animal, sometimes a demigod, and so on. Although the body is obtained and lost in due course of time, the spirit soul does not actually mix with the body, but is subjugated by the particular modes of nature with which he is sinfully associated. Spiritual education changes one's consciousness so that one simply carries out the orders of the Supreme Lord and becomes free from the influence of the modes of material nature. Text number 42. Just as a householder, although different from the identity of his house, thinks his house to be identical with him, So the conditioned soul, due to ignorance, accepts the body to be himself, although the body is actually different from the soul. This body is obtained through a combination of portions of earth, water, and fire, and when the earth, water, and fire are transformed, in the course of time, the body is vanquished. The soul has nothing to do with this creation and dissolution of the body. Purport, we transmigrate from one body to another in bodies that are products of our illusion. But as spirit souls, we always exist separately from material conditional life. The example given here is that a house or car is always different from its owner. But because of attachment, the conditioned soul thinks it to be identical with him. A car or house is actually made of material elements. As long as the material elements combine together properly, the car or house exists. And when they are disassembled, the house or car, is disassembled. The spirit soul, however, always remains as he is. As fire, although situated in wood, text 43, is perceived to be different from the wood, as air, although situated within the mouth and nostrils, is perceived to be separate, and as the sky, although all-pervading, never mixes with anything, so the living entity, although now encaged within the material body, of which it is a source, is the source, is separate from it. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of God has explained that the material energy and spiritual energy both emanate from him. The material energy is described as me bina prakritir ashtada, the eight separated energies of the Lord. But although the eight gross and subtle material energies, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, are stated to be binna, separate from the Lord, actually they are not. As fire appears separate from wood, and as the air flowing through the nostrils and mouth of the body appears separate from the body, so the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of God, it appears separate from the living being, but is actually separate and not separate simultaneously. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva propounded by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the reactions of karma, the living being appears separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but actually he is very intimately related with the Lord. Consequently, even though we now seem neglected by the Lord, he is actually always alert to our activities. Under all circumstances, therefore, we should simply depend on the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus revive our intimate relationship with him. We must depend upon the authority and control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 44, Yamaraj continued, O lamenters, you are all fools. The person named Suyagya for whom you lament is still lying before you and has not gone anywhere. Then what is the cause for your lamentation? Previously he heard you and replied to you, but now, not finding him, you are lamenting. This is contradictory behavior, for you have never actually seen the person within the body who heard you and replied. There is no need for your lamentation, for the body you have always seen is lying here. Purport. This instruction by Yamaraj in the form of a boy is understandable even for a common man. A common man who considers the body to be the self is certainly comparable to an animal. But even a common man can understand that after death a person is gone. Although the body is still there, a dead man's relatives lament that the person has gone away. For a common man sees the body but cannot see the soul. As described in Bhagavad Gita, Dehino Smin Yata Dehe, the soul, the proprietor of the body, is within. After death, when the breath within the nostrils has stopped, one can understand that the person within the body, who is hearing and replying, has now gone. Therefore, in effect, the common man concludes that actually the spirit soul was different from the body and has now gone away. Thus, even a common man coming to his senses can know that the real person who was within the body and was hearing and replying was never seen. For that which was never seen, what is the need of lamentation? And thus ends tonight's reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And now we'll take just a few reflections, because we'll end right at 8:30. And we'll hear from the devotees who are listening tonight with rapt attention which particular points stuck in your minds.
Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj, for the wonderful reading. Hare Krishna, devotees. If you want to share reflections or ask questions, please press star 6 to unmute yourself and follow the instructions. I'm going to start the Q&A session now. We had Pratibha Mataji and we just lost her. Let's bring her back again. Yeah. Go ahead, Pratibha Mataji.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you now. Please go ahead.
Okay. Dharma Pranam Maharaj, thank you for wonderful reading today. And throughout the text and the chapter as you were reading, especially when Hiranyakashipu mentions that or gives so much insight on the family members getting together just like straws and then getting separated and all the details of how the body, the soul migrates and the body dies, obviously. I was just thinking of this quote that you have used once in a while in your emails, and this was coming again and again in my mind, and it has really influenced me. Very now and then I find myself meditating about it, and it gives me a great perspective. So can you please tell us a little bit more about that quote? It goes like this. I may not be able to quote it perfectly, but it goes like this, that the life of Lord Brahma may seem very fantastic from a point of view, but from a point of view of eternity, it is a flash of lightning.
Mm. Well, yeah. It's the perspective. Prabhupada gave once the story of the hairy sage, and he said for each hair on his body, he would live for a day of Brahma. So he would be around for trillions and trillions and trillions of years. And his followers wanted to build him a little cottage because he just lived with no clothes and very simply in the woods. But he said, oh, I'm not going to be here for very long. So, no need. And those who have eyes of vision, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, nasato vidite bhavo, nabhavo vidite sita, ubayarapi drishton tas twanayos tatvadarshi bi. Those with eyes that have true vision see the difference between that which exists and that which is temporary and which is fleeting. And if someone actually glimpses that, the relativity of the material world becomes altogether apparent. And I heard Prabhupada the other day saying that one who thinks like that and just sees how this life we're just passing through, as Hiranyakashipu is talking about, can be tolerant. And he gave the example of somebody getting on a train and then there's an argument over who gets what seat. And he said, for a person who's a devotee, 3 hours standing up, it's not worth fighting over the seat, so he just tolerates and goes forward because he thinks there's a beginning and an end to this trip, so why fight over it? And similarly, a Vaishnav who sees his life is so temporary in the scheme of the entire universe and of eternity can tolerate so many comings and goings in his life and doesn't become disturbed as much.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. There's a text message from Govinda Charan Prabhu. I'm just going to read that. It's a very interesting message. He says, I was amazed to hear about Srila Prabhupada describing the freezing of the dead bodies. They call it cryogenic. They charge $200,000 for the whole body preservation, hoping someone would find a means to revive the body.
Yeah. Actually, there's a famous TV personality, Larry King, and he's asked that his body be cryogenically frozen. And I heard him speak about it. He was saying that, you know, who knows, maybe that we'll take a chance. This is the only opportunity I have. This is the only life I have. He completely thinks he's his body, and so he thinks to preserve the body, that what if, you know, in 100,000 years they come up with a cure for whatever he dies of, then he'll be revived again. So this is one of the coverings of material nature called Anda Tamishra that Lord Brahma creates when he gives the illusory bodies of the living entities in the material world. And it means that one then is under the illusion that when one dies, everything is finished. When this body's finished, everything is finished. Yeah, that's amazing, that people think about that, cryogenics. Walt Disney was also frozen, I understand.
Very cool. So we have Linda Mataji on the phone.
Hare Krishna, Shiva Gurudev.
Hare Krishna, Bhakti Linda. Hare Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking about the purport in text 41. A lot of times when disasters happen or bad things happen, the question of a lot of people is, you know, why did God do this or why did God allow that? But you know, in the Srila Prabhupada's purport, he's saying that it's not the Lord that's doing it. We're just getting the reactions of our own decisions. And, you know, the laws of nature because of our own karma. And the Lord's ready to help and to give us direction, but we just must surrender. So it's not really the Lord that's doing these things to us. We're causing them to happen to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because of the lack of surrender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that on track there?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said, am I on track there?
You're what?
Am I on track with that?
You're on track, yes. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that it's actually the relationship of the living entity with material nature. And he says he doesn't accept anyone's sinful or pious activities, but the living entity, because of ignorance, gets involved with the material nature and therefore undergoes all these different changes. But the Lord's, as we heard throughout the first chapter and partially in this chapter, neutral, and actually wants the living entity to come out of that condition. Yeah, it's a very nice point, Bhakti and Linda. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We have Shyamalangi Mataji next.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I could not hear very well because I had to come to the temple. But yesterday, I remember one point from yesterday, I wanted to say yesterday also. There is one text which said that somehow or other, we should take the form of Krishna very seriously. So that is like there in my mind since yesterday. And I wanted to just say it.
Yeah, that's a nice point. I was always struck by a verse in the story about Agasura, in which Shukadeva Goswami says, if somehow or other one is able to even forcefully keep the form of the Lord within one's mind, then he will attain so much benefit. And in that chapter, Shukadeva talks about how Agasura attained a very special kind of liberation because of actually being touched by the Lord. And, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, just think of me. So this is such an auspicious process, bhakti yoga, where we, before we're even qualified, we see the form of the Lord in the archa vigraha in the temple, and we can actually develop loving sentiment for the deity and the form of the Lord by His mercy. He appears in that form, and we can think of Him and so forth. I just remember in Hungary, the devotees there get many, many guests who come to the farm on buses, and they come to see the farm project there, and they come in and see the beautiful temple room and the deities. and the devotees set up chairs in front of the deity so all the guests can sit there. And then one of the devotees gives a talk about who the deities are and what they are and so forth. And then they get a chance to pull a little string, and it actually fans the deities. Yes. And then people go away with a picture of the deities, and they think about them, and they actually become devoted to that form of the Lord, and so much benefit is there. So this process of bhakti is very powerful, and it's necessary. Kapila Dev says to Devahuti that people have this advantage of coming into a temple and experiencing the atmosphere. They can smell the incense, and they can see the deity and the beautiful flowers, and it calms their mind, and then they become imperceptibly liberated by that, just by coming into that environment. It's so powerful. Yeah, really nice point. I like that one too. Thank you, Shamalungi.
Thank you.
And now we've come to the end of our program tonight, because it's 8:30. And so we can unmute everybody. Can everyone please say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Grandpa. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol Kita Priya. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Go pray, Manande.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Grandpa.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.